Peck Honda for huge savings on a huge selection. Shop over 1,000 new Hondas during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Get 0.9% APR financing for 72 months on select new models. Pick Peck Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online at patpeckhonda.com. Example stock number KB007731. 2019 Honda Ridgeline Sport front wheel drive MSRP $34,485 to qualified buyers through AHFC. 72 monthly payments of $1,427 per $1,000 finance. May require down payment. Offer ends 3/31/20. Pick Peck Honda for huge savings on a huge selection. Shop over 1,000 new Hondas during the Honda Dream Garage Spring Event. Get 0.9% APR financing for 72 months on select new models. Pick Peck Honda today. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport or shop online at patpeckhonda.com. Example stock number KB007731. 2019 Honda Ridgeline Sport front wheel drive MSRP $34,485 to qualified buyers through AHFC. 72 monthly payments of $1,427 per $1,000 finance. May require down payment. Offer ends 3/31/20.
And we are live. I'm Michael Angley, live coming at you from a hotel on the road. I have decided to go across the country, not starting today, probably Sunday, safe to say, and check out this viral situation, check out what's going on, talk to people. I want to stop into a distillery in Kentucky and talk to them about making hand sanitizer. These whiskey distilleries, you know, basically whiskey manufacturers and other alcohol manufacturers are making hand sanitizer. How amazing is that? Having this country pulled together all for a cause, put their businesses on pause. You know, it's not like people don't need whiskey right now, but, you know, I'm kind of going to zigzag and zip around and move around, go back and forth and whatever, and make my way to Las Vegas and maybe California, you know. It depends. Things are getting janky on the road, man. I'll be driving, so things are getting janky. And I got New York license plates. People might be like, hey, New Yorker, bah. They think that I'm the infector monkey, and I'm out there trying to spread COVID-19 all over everybody. So that remains to be seen. Most of the states I want to travel through don't really have a heavy outbreak right now, which is why I want to go, because I actually want to talk to the people there about how they feel about it, like if it's coming or what happens. And, you know, there's also a lot of homeless people, disadvantaged, who don't have the money to go and buy 200 rolls of toilet paper. They don't have the money to go to the store and, you know, buy all kinds of extra food and whatever they think that they need for this apocalypse, you know. So it's a mixed bag. I don't see a lot of people being represented in those groups. You know, I see wealthy people represented and middle class, even, you see, starting, they want to throw people a bone of, you know, 600 or 1200 or whatever it is they're trying to determine still. I mean, they put the bill together. They're looking to pass it. Now the Senate went through the Senate, now goes back to the House for their, you know, arguing approval, whatever, all their BS. Yeah, that's what it is. And they move on. It eventually ends up in the president's lap, and then he signs it, and it's law. But it's going to take a little while. You know, the government is a squeaky wheel. Everything that they do it bad, poorly. It's terrible, terrible at it. If you've ever had to call a government agency of any kind, I don't care if it's Department of Motor Vehicles, I don't care if it's your taxation department, I don't care if you're trying to get a license from somebody, if it's local, if it's county, if it's state, if it's federal, it's always the same. Horrible, horrible experiences. And I was calling the taxation department because I had an LLC. So I was calling Albany, right? I called the number. This woman answered, "What you want?" I was like, "Excuse me?" She's like, "Excuse me? What you want?" I'm like, "Is this New York State Taxation Department?" She's like, "Yeah, what do you want?" I'm like, "Holy fucking God, are you serious, man? This is the world we're in. This is what's tolerated." I bet the people there are afraid to even fire her because she came in on some kind of program or whatever, you know. And wow, the dumb fummery out there is mind-boggling. And this virus is no different. So people like to be scared. People like to feel panic. People like to go out and buy all kinds of crap. And it makes them feel better that they have this. You don't need 200 rolls of toilet paper. You know, I mean, even if you are pretty active down there and you go through like a roll a week, let's say you do even two rolls a week, two rolls of toilet paper for one person is a hell of a lot of toilet paper, right? Two rolls a week. Okay. Eight rolls a month. How many do you really think you need to last you a few months? But now people are like, well, it's going to go on for longer and maybe years and we don't know. Ah, you don't know. The unknown variable. It's a bitch because you just don't know. Is it going to go on for 2 months? Is it going to come in waves? Is it going? So, I mean, what's it going to do? Is it going to mutate and get worse? Might mutate and get better, like I think. In fact, I see it already changed. I see now it's actually causing diarrhea, much to the relief of all those people out there that bought hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. See, now you can use it. You're still not going to use that much. But more power to you, man. You know, I mean, but leave some for other people. When people go to the store to buy their two rolls of toilet paper, and there isn't any because somebody came in and went nuts. That's shameful. Isn't that shameful that people do that and they hoard? You'd be surprised how fast society would turn on itself. You know, deprive any society of 3 days worth of meals and you'll see society completely collapse. You'll have your looters, all that. One of my friends said that. She was like, you know, we were talking about this apocalypse happening and whatever. And she's like, yeah, wait till the looting begins. I'm like, damn straight. I need some stuff. Why not? I have a list. You know what I mean? You know what? You got to drive with the traffic, man. I got a family member who said, always drive with the traffic. The traffic's going 80 miles an hour. You're going 80 miles an hour. If you don't go 80 miles an hour, you're messing up traffic. So drive with the traffic, right? I'm not telling you go loot. I'm just saying when in Rome, if you buy a Roma furniture store, you might want to get a table for yourself or something. I don't know. Is that terrible? Yes, it is. It's terrible that people do that and think like that. And they're willing to, at gunpoint, take what you have away from you. If government falls apart, and this is why when people say, especially the anarchists out there, I love that. Especially the anarchists out there that are on welfare. I love that even more. Here you are being supported by taxpayers, the government, right? But all that money comes from people who work for a living. Taxpayers don't. You're saying F the government, F the system, F everybody and all that. At the same time, you're taking a handout from these very same people. You know, they're the ones buying your toilet paper, if you want to put it into those real terms, right? But in the end of the day, in the real world of anarchy, and I've discussed this at great length with myself. I was like, when I talk to myself, it comes down to mob rule. Whoever has the bigger gun, whoever has the bigger gang, whoever has the most control over you, and they will take everything from you. They will take what you want sexually. They'll take your money. They'll take your stuff. They'll take anything they want from you, and you'll be able to do nothing. Oh, go ahead, call 911. Oh, nobody answers. Because all the cops are out on leave because they're all sick or something, you know. But this is what's happening now in New York. I'm in New York. I'm in upstate New York, middle of nowhere. And where I am, there's two major colleges. They both closed down a while ago because of this. So the town is virtually empty. And I went out a couple times today. I had stuff to do. Had to go bring my mom some stuff, take care of that. And not a lot of people on the road. That's nice. Not a lot of people in the store. It's even better. You don't have to wait online too long. Pretty cool. So for someone like me, who's a total shut-in introvert, whose daily life is quarantine. I mean, when I read the rules for quarantine, I was like, oh, yeah, no kissing, no touching. Keep people at a distance. You stay home. No large groups of people. I'm like, that's my life. My life is quarantine. How dare you? How dare you insult me like that? I thought I was just being cool. It's quarantine. But then when you're in quarantine, you're an introvert. You want to be an extrovert because that's the duality of freaking mankind right there. That's the duality. I got to get out of here. Normally it'd be just fine. But now, oh, I can't handle it. So you go out. Where I live, middle of nowhere. You can go and drive into the hills. People are out hiking today, riding their bikes, doing all that. You know, they're not taking it. I mean, you know, granted, this isn't New York freaking city. I live down there and, you know, 8.6 million people in New York City, not including the surrounding areas, not including Nassau and Suffolk County. Then you've got a lot of everything down there. So you have clusters and those clusters are suffering because just of the close proximity, you know, people not being careful. This virus is alive and well and running rampant, constantly changing. Look at the good side. I think that think about physics, okay? The physics of anything. Energy. Let's think about energy. You have a battery, okay? The battery's got a life. As the battery gets used, as it progresses, it dies down, you know? If it's not a rechargeable battery, the battery gets to a certain point where it's done and you chuck it, right? So same thing for a rocket. Rocket's full of fuel. The rocket blasts off. Rocket has X amount of time to burn out, but it burns out. You know, even nuclear power has a half-life of 5,000 years for basic uranium. 5,000, that means it starts to deteriorate after 5,000 years, which is a long freaking time, you know? Jesus is walking around 2,020 years ago, or thereabout, whatever. So 5,000 years, yikes. That's a long, 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 long time. A lot longer than our little puny existences, right? So this virus is not like, just it's the same as all of it. It's got a life to it. Same as all of us. And as this virus encounters other people, and their immune systems and gets used to being pummeled by those immune systems, especially the people who survived, who, you know, had the virus and maybe they had no symptoms. They had the virus or did have symptoms, but they got better. You know, there's a lot of them out there. Those people, that virus got its ass kicked inside of those people. The virus didn't win. It didn't take control. It didn't kill them. You know, so it's important to learn from those people. They're going to use their hemoglobin for different tests and that type of stuff. That's great. But more important is that when those people had spread the virus to somebody else, and that virus was going through the process of fighting their immune system, the next person who gets it is going to have a better throw at fighting the thing. And it's not that raw first wave virus that came from Wuhan that probably had a good 30% mortality rate. 30 people out of 100 die, you know. So if you have a million people, you have 300,000 that will die. That's that case fatality rate, right? But what's interesting and shocking and horrific, I was doing my numbers, right? Because I like numbers, man, of these case fatality rates in our country here, United States of America, which is about 1.3. And it's been hovering, but going down pretty consistently, but now hovering. And I feel like there's a lot more people who are infected, like a lot, maybe hundreds of thousands in this country that don't know they have it. But okay. You take that, for instance, right? And you look at Italy that had a 10% case fatality rate. It's huge. 10 people out of every 100 people will die. That's big. People who will get infected, right? But in China, in Wuhan, I was listening to different reports. And I was looking at the Chinese, you know, Chinese media, right? They put stuff out. They're so closed off and insecure. That's communism, insecure. They think everyone, like, you can't release any information, nothing. And if you release any information, they're going to use it against you, you know? It's paranoia like you wouldn't believe, right? Paranoia with extra cheese. So, disturbing to me, and I was, when I had realized what they had said and what they're saying about the population in Wuhan, is that there's 10 million people in Wuhan currently. I was like, wow, because it was 11 million a few months ago. When the whole thing started and they quarantined Wuhan, they said it was a city of 11 million people. Looked it up. It's a city of 11 million people. Now it's a city of 10 million people. So not surprising. And if you know, China says only 3,000 some odd people died in their whole country of 1.3 billion people of this virus. The reports that I heard, the last believable report that I heard was that, and this is going back to probably late January, is that 50-something thousand people were dead and hundreds of thousands of people, like 300,000 people, whatever, had it, you know? And they put the recovery only like 200, you know, 30 people. It was around there. So if you look, you know, China, you can't believe what they say, and you got to look at the numbers, and we all know they lie. This is why I suspect a million people died. I suspect that because people are dropping dead in the street and they're dying. They don't have the respirators. You see Mario Cuomo, the governor of New York, talk about, you know, him doing the math, saying we need this amount of respirators, this amount of hospital beds. You know, you plan for the worst, hope for the best. He's on it, man. He's really on it. A lot of people don't like him. I actually didn't like him at all. Now I have more respect for him because he's rising to the occasion like a real leader, you know. The DNC is talking about drafting him to run him as president against Trump, which is pretty funny because Biden doesn't know where the hell he is. But I believe that a million people died or more in China because they were running those crematoriums, all the crematoriums they have in that city. And keep in mind, Wuhan is a city, one ambulance to 50,000 people. 50,000 people, one ambulance. You know how I mean, America, it's like 10,000 people to one ambulance. But if you have a lot of people calling that ambulance, you're not going to get it. It's not meant for large, widespread disasters. It's meant for normal, hey, this person needs to go to the hospital type of thing. But then they, after those crematoriums were rolling, they called it the Wuhan fog. So for weeks, this fog was all over the dead bodies they were burning. Then they imported, or they moved around into their own, 40 industrial incinerators to Wuhan. 40 industrial incinerators. And they said, oh, it's to burn animal bodies and garbage and things like that. It's a lie. They were burning human bodies in there. I believe a million people died. And I believe that Wuhan only has 10 million people now. And I believe that they didn't do a you know, send out people's census, you know, to see who's still around. I'm sure they just deducted the amount of dead bodies from the population. So, but that was this first wave of the bug, right? First wave. Now, China, I believe, is experiencing a second wave. Because things are weird there and getting weirder, especially with Xi Jinping. And Trump said he was going to talk to Xi Jinping tonight, and he was upset that they lied, upset that their ambassador said that it was America, our army, that planted this virus there, and that type of thing when so many people here are suffering and in Italy and Spain. Italy and Spain have big numbers, huge. I believe that Italy and Spain got hit by that first generation virus, you know, whoever got it, there was a woman from Hubei province, right, which is right in Wuhan. And she was on that ship, and she's the one who got off the ship in Italy. They cleared her within a matter of hours that she didn't have the coronavirus. This is early on. I think they lied, the Italian authorities. They wanted to get that ship out of there as fast as possible. They were nervous about it. But they let 1,000 people off that ship, and it makes perfect sense that 1,000 people roamed around Rome and other areas as tourists and infected other people with that first generation. So that's the generation now that's going around Italy, super strong, very powerful. Their immune systems aren't capable of fighting in Italy. Very, again, a place that's very dense, you know, people are living very close, maybe not the best sewage in some places. Maybe, yeah, I mean, I know in Rome they had a huge problem with garbage, huge. And the mayor, she made some mistakes, I guess, in negotiating, and then the garbage company stopped picking up the garbage. Then it piled up, of course, like garbage does. I remember a garbage strike in New York City one time. Oh, my God, how horrible. It was just nasty. And then the rats running all over the garbage. So the rats came, of course, because they do. And then wild boar. They have, like, these wild pig problem in a lot of places, even here locally, believe it or not. But in Rome, it's really bad. And then these pigs, man, they get together and they make little piglets, and they're good at it. And they make a lot of them. So then there's a ton of them running around. So it just adds to the problem, right? I don't think that there's a solution for Italy right now. So they quarantined. They kept people inside. People were singing from the rooftops and their windows, trying to keep a good attitude. Yeah, man, it sucks to be stuck inside, locked inside, confined to that space. You know, like you're locked up in prison or something. They want to let the prisoners go, which is interesting because, you know, you would think you can keep them isolated in prison, right? But I predict widespread crime. I predict breakdown of governments in a lot of places where the police are going to have it. They're not going to be able to show up for work. And, you know, already there's hundreds of nurses out in New Jersey, hundreds in New York, you know, doctors too, people contracting it. I don't see how you're going to stop it. And what I think is probably the best case scenario, all the same, it's going to progress. People are going to get it. It's going to get weaker as it moves along from generation to generation. I don't think it'll mutate and become stronger. I think that it'll mutate and become weaker and weaker and weaker until it's just some basic coronavirus, basic flu, basic cold, something that you get. You might have a little bit congestion or whatever, and then you pop a Mucinex and we're good. That's what I think. But it's going to take time. And believe it or not, it's a balancing act, because if you don't isolate people, the strength of the virus now could definitely decapitate any medical services that are out there. And then you have your worst case scenarios coming up, right? If you keep everybody inside, the virus is still out there, but then it'll slowly move through society. So people are going to get it anyway. I don't think that you can really avoid it, you know? And I don't believe that people don't have a natural immunity. I think that as it moves around, especially since it's a coronavirus, our bodies know what coronaviruses are, but this one is supposedly, you know, it didn't come from anywhere where we already had it. That's why they're saying there's no natural immunity. So yeah, some people probably have zero, and then it attacks their immune system. Maybe you have a compromised immune system to begin with. Maybe you have underlying causes or problems. You know, maybe you have, you know, emphysema or something like that. Those are the people that are going to get hit the hardest, and they're going to need those respirators the most, right? So Mexico has blocked the border, and they're demanding checks on Americans coming over you flip the switch. I saw movies like this, you know, like these zombie movies where people flip the switch, or a disaster movie the day after, right? Where people are trying to get into Mexico and they have to like buy their way in. Or if you ever watched a series called Z Nation, it's kind of like that too, where, you know, people form their groups and whatever. And once there's no government and there's a total government breakdown, which I'm not saying is going to happen. I'm saying that it's going to happen in certain degrees, maybe not 100%, but certain degrees, certainly. And once that starts to happen and people really start flipping out, it becomes a whole different game, you know? And yeah, it's about survival, really. You know, I mean, we're humans. We struggle to survive every second of every day since we're born until we die. Daily life is a survival. Everything that you do is about surviving and living and just trying to find some kind of happiness, really. You know, I mean, isn't that what it's all about at the end of the day? Trying to find some kind of happiness. So, but then you get the people who are trying to make up their time in this stay in, and the cops were forced to break up an orgy during a lockdown. So at least people are trying, you know, they're finding things that they like to do. That's what I'm saying. All right. Finding things they like to do. So, but then there's people that have fears that people's civil rights are disappearing. You know, with every one of these things, we lose a lot of rights. In 9/11, after that, there was the Patriot Act. They signed that Patriot Act 2 days after 9/11. And a whole bunch of janky stuff went on, right? Alan Greenspan, who was treasurer at that point, you know, secretary of the Treasury Department, took off with $50 billion, 5-0, $50 billion of our money. This is the day after 9/11, right? And transferred it into euro dollars and gave it to the World Trade Organization. And supposedly it was about a whole bunch of fines that we had to pay to the World Trade Organization. Like, who the hell are they that we're paying fines to them? But the Patriot Act was actually crafted months before 9/11. It was crafted 7 months before 9/11, right? It was crafted, you're going to love this, from a Nazi document that basically locks a place down systematically when there's some kind of thing, an attack or whatever, that they say is for the good of the people. They want to keep all the people in their place, right? So like the Patriot Act had a lot of provisions, like the fact that if you're labeled an enemy combatant, they can hold you indefinitely in a jail without charging you, you know? So people lost their rights in that Patriot Act. It had a sunset provision. It was going to go away when Obama first got in. And I thought for sure he was going to just let it go. See you later. He signed it back in, which goes to show you where people's heads are at establishment wise. What? Because they have their own agenda. Your agenda is not their agenda. If your agenda fits into their agenda, they might go with that as long as you give them some money. It's like the mafia. The government's like the mafia. They take a chunk of your money and they don't do anything for you. At least the mafia might do some stuff for you. They don't do anything for you. The only thing they do is take your money and tell you, they bullcrap you, they BS you. They do the Texas sidestep when you ask them a question and they don't answer and they dance around, right? So it's greed, man. You know, Bible talked about gluttony. Lao Tzu talked about desire. No greater curse than desire. No greater discontent than wanting something for yourself, man. Think about that and what people have to sacrifice and do to get certain things. And look at the ones at the top. They're not really people you want to hang out with, you know, not people that are genuine, are real. You know, maybe a couple of them are, but I think that the very nature of where they are and what they do puts them into a certain category, right? So the reality is, we're all screwed. And it's always been like that. It doesn't matter what country. You know what? This show is in over 200 countries. There's people in Iran listening right now. There's people in China listening right now. And if you listen, you understand. You get it. You get it. You understand. You know what's going on your street, on your block, with your neighbors. You know what's happening. And the government that pushes you around, or the ones who say that they love you, they're doing everything for you, you know, none of them do. None of them do. If they do it, they're doing it to showboat. If they do it, they're doing it to throw somebody a bone so you don't revolt, you know? I'm a pirate. I was born a pirate. I'll die a pirate. And I see these people as what they are, man. They're just salespeople, things that are reasonable. You don't want to be denied health care, for instance. You don't want to be denied clean drinking water or clean air to breathe, things like that. You want to be safe in your home. You want to be safe on your block with your family, you know? You don't want to be abused, not by government officials, not by police, not by anybody, not by criminals, especially. So we all want the same things. And then what defines us as people is that we stick up for the people. We reach out. We help. Maybe not everybody. There's some selfish bastards out there. But the reality is, when you see these disasters unfold, and then you see the humanity on the side, you actually see, and I'm not talking about these people who are wealthy for Hollywood or music or whatever, and then they're going online, and this is like so freaking disgusting, man. And they're sitting there in their 20,000 square foot mansion, and they're like, oh, I gotta stay home. Everybody should stay home. It's okay. And look at me. I'm suffering. I'm staying home. Freaking suffering. You got a mansion the size of a mall, and you got everything you can imagine. Everything you can imagine, man. You know, 100 people could be there and not even see each other. And these people are suffering. No, try being in some little tiny apartment in New York City where everybody around you getting sick, and there's hospital ships on the way. There's things that are, you know, the army's there. They're putting hospitals together, hospital beds. Tough to wrap your mind around that. Not sitting there in Bel Air, you know, in your pool in the backyard saying life sucks. Life does suck for a lot of people, but not these people. Life does suck if you're stuck in that little cockroach apartment and then you have to, you know, you can't even go out and do anything or whatever. Come on, man. You're stuck in some hotel room under quarantine. Yeah. Drinking hotel coffee. And it sucks. It sucks. You know? But things get better. And I'm thankful for the things that I have. I'm thankful that I'm one of those wacko survivalist people that for years has been stockpiling all kinds of crap. Everybody says, you're a freak. Really? Who's a freak now? Me. That's right. I'm still a freak, but I'm a freak with stuff. You see? I'd rather be a freak with stuff than somebody who calls himself normal, who has no stuff. Maybe you have 4 or 5 rolls of toilet paper, you know? Unless you're going through a huge breakup. Now breakups and divorces include toilet paper. Seriously. There's this dude getting divorced, and he just bought 200 rolls of toilet paper. He's divorced. He wants half the toilet paper. And things come to that. What about having a bidet? Rolls of toilet paper. I traveled through China back in the late 80s, man. I'll tell you, you're not going to find toilet paper in a place like that unless you go to McDonald's. I went to McDonald's in Beijing. That was my office, my home away from home. That's the only place I actually have a freaking toilet you can sit down and use, unless you go to one of the hotels. But mainly, when you're traveling around, if you use businesses, man, you go to do your business, it's basically a hole in the ground with water in there running around and a bowl of water next to it. So, if you can imagine. Or you can go retro Amish and take a corn cob and put it on a stick. Yeah. Corn cob on a stick, you know. You will never, ever, never, never, ever go to a buffet and see a corn cob sitting there and not think of that. Not think of that. Corn cob on a stick. That's what you got to do. Clean your hiney. And then the Sears catalog came along, but no more. Now it's online. You got to use your computer, I guess. And then people are complaining because their internet's crapping out. Let me tell you, you got 3 billion people on lockdown. They're all online. They want to watch everything that's on TV. They want to go online. They want to do this and do that and check things out. I have a vast DVD collection, so I'm happy with that. All the movies I actually really like. And books. I'm reading Robbie Thomas's book again. Reread. What the hell is it? Here it is. Law Enforcement Endorsed Psychic Profiler, The Real Deal, True Crime Cases, Volume 1. Kevin Smith, International Police Chief, says the arrests were made exactly how you said it would happen. It was amazing. I don't endorse psychics at all, but Robbie Thomas is one I stand behind. So, of course, Robbie Thomas is on my show frequently on Discovery Paranormal. He's got a tour coming up, and he's got this book out. So go to Amazon and get this Psychic Profile, the book by Robbie Thomas. He has other books out, too. He has a cool dream book out, too, man. So really, it's a balancing act. The virus is doing what I thought it was going to do. If you've listened to me on a consistent basis, you know I've been talking about this since the first outbreak in December, because it's kind of like the thing I pay attention to, you know. And when I first saw it, I was like, wow, look at this. And what caught my eye is that the next day, a whole bunch of more people were infected. And it was like one day you had just a large group, which is odd, right, for any virus really. Is that high infection rate. And that's the problem with this virus, is that high infection rate. You know, if you have the flu and you're in a room of 40 people, you know, maybe a couple of people would get it, especially if you have some kind of contact with them. Maybe not. But this thing, it just seems like if you're in a room full of 40 people, probably most of those people are going to get this bug. You know, they're saying it's airborne for 3 hours. That's why I don't get the whole social distancing anyway. If it's airborne for 3 hours, how the hell do you fight something like that? You know, even if you're outside, man, I mean, they're saying go outside. Yeah, whatever. I was driving down, opened my sunroof, opened my windows. I was cruising today. I did what I went to the post office. It was surreal. First of all, there was like nobody there, which is awesome. Like for a freak like me, everything's empty. I love that, man, because I don't like people. It's kind of like those zombie movies. And there I am walking around in the middle of it. You know, I stay away from people anyway, having conversations at a distance, all that. But I can see for a lot of people that are extroverts, they're suffering. They're suffering right now. Let's say a prayer for their suffering. That's how I pray, because I don't like extroverts. You can suffer. You can criticize my introverted life. And extroverts, I know a few that are hardcore vegetarians. So it turns out that in all these supermarkets that are being wiped out of all their food, toilet paper, everything, wiped out. The only food left in these supermarkets are the vegetarian items, which is hysterical, man. So we'll applaud that one too. But vegetarian bologna is a great substitute for toilet paper if you really, really need it, you know. But I don't know, there was toilet paper on the shelf when I was in the store. Everything was full, food, everything. There was no problem, you know. But I don't live in the area. I mean, there's 105,000 people in the whole county. It's a big county. A lot of people are gone. A lot of students are gone. People affiliated with Cornell University and Ithaca College have taken off. So it's much the quiet place. Businesses are suffering, of course. Hotels are suffering. Restaurants, everybody, anybody and anybody, really. It's not just one thing. And, you know, it's going to take time economically to get past this hump. But it's not going to go on forever. People are very resilient. You know, We're going to be stronger in the end, because this is something that the world is suffering. And I actually feel it's brought people together, even though you're at a social distance. It's brought people together of different countries and a different mindset. So I think that's important to do, because we need that. We need that unity. Trump couldn't pull it off, you know. He doesn't understand how to unify people. He knows how to divide people. I'll say that. I witnessed that. I'm not going to say bad stuff necessarily, but I don't love the guy. I don't hate the guy. And someone asked me if I thought he was doing a good job through all this. And I was like, yeah. I think that in the beginning, they screwed up. There are standard operating procedures that should have been followed. And, you know, he kind of touts, say, I closed the border with China. He didn't. They had travel restrictions for some flights, but there was private flights and private planes, all kinds of stuff coming out of China, coming into the U.S. So just look at the air traffic during that time. So as long as he shut it down completely, or Chinese will go into Canada, then come here to the U.S., or they fly into Mexico and come wherever they go and come into the U.S., you know. So it's kind of like that. When something like this happens, you need to tighten the ship right away. You can't waste any time. And time is of the essence when it comes to these viruses. They are alive, and life finds a way. They want to be alive, and they want to keep living for their lifespan, just like you, just like that chicken you just ate, or the cow you just ate, you know, or the eggplant. Everything has a timeline. Everything has a span, and everything has a level of energy that will eventually burn out. And that's physics. That's life. You know, the sun's going to burn out eventually. Everything does, you know? So I think that the strength of people, and when it comes to evolvement, is within situations like this, that literally you need a major cataclysm. And it's kind of funny. I said this October, maybe November. I was talking about this on the show of unity and bringing people together worldwide. And that you need, I said, you know, that I was talking about some movie, like Alien movie, and here they come, and then people finally pull together for a time, because people aren't going to pull together forever, but they're going to be better for it and more understanding. It makes sense that the people that don't like one another, unless you have a real reason not to like someone, the ones that don't like one another really don't know each other. And that lack of knowledge and that wall is something that people need to get over. And it's important. Like when I lived in New York City, such an international city, everybody and anybody comes through. There's two cities in America, two, that anyone and anyone go through at some point. New York City and Las Vegas. Both of those places, man, you know, and in the city, you know, back in the day when I was younger, I used to smoke Marlboro cigarettes, right? And then, you know, you meet people from other countries, you're in a club, you're chilling out, and then it's a custom that they whip out one of their cigarettes, you whip out one of yours, and you exchange them, you know? And then you learn about each other. You talk, you have a conversation, maybe with a cup of coffee, and then you just get to know, or over a beer or a drink, a shot of whiskey, whatever the hell, joint, whatever it is, man, or nothing. You just talk, you have a conversation, you learn about each other, cultures, all that. I love that. And it all starts with hello. I know how to say hello in every language, you know? So it all starts with a hello. And once you get past that, It's all about learning and about the wonderment of people, right? So we're going to get past this. We're going to get past this because it's all of us together, not the parts separate. All of us together being one whole, you know? So Lao Tzu said, be really whole and all things will come to you. So I'm going to end the show here. This is Michael Angley, Michael Angley Live. Check me out on the road next week, man. I'm going to be in all kinds of cities, going, checking people out, maybe get chased down because I got New York license plates or whatever, man. I'll be out there, you know. If you want to fund it, you want to donate, you could do that too. You can go right to the station page and contact Joel Montaldo if you want to fund this type of trip. But I'm going to be out there, man. And I want to see, you know, hear what people have to say, and I figure by next week the thing's going to calm down a little bit. But I want to know really how people feel about everything going on, you know, and the direction of their lives. And more important, their lives make up our country, your life, everybody's lives, you know, whatever country you're in. That's it, man. So I will see you guys. Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. 107.5 New Orleans. Prayers for everybody down there, too. And 105.7 Pastor Christian. Bye.
The McDouble is here to add some sizzle to your day. And now you can enjoy it with McDonald's 4-for-4 deal. Choose between a cheesy McDouble or a delightfully crispy McChicken. Then add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, a small order of crispy fries, and a refreshing medium-sized soft drink like an ice-cold Coke for just $4. Now that's a tasty deal. Swing by and add some sizzle to your day with McDonald's 4-for-4. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. The McDouble is here to add some sizzle to your day. And now you can enjoy it with McDonald's 4-for-4 deal. Choose between a cheesy McDouble or a delightfully crispy McChicken. Then add 4-piece chicken McNuggets, a small order of crispy fries, and a refreshing medium-sized soft drink like an ice-cold Coke for just $4. Now that's a tasty deal. Swing by and add some sizzle to your day with McDonald's 4-for-4. Price and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.